Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Mini Crush.
I like extending out the hello.
It's fun. How you doing, Noah? How's that elbow? How's that wrist?
Well, I don't know, man. I've got a really big, nasty bruise now, which I guess makes me think that things are progressing well.
Okay.
Or maybe that's not what that means at all. I don't know.
What level boo-boo would you call this?
On a scale of 1 to catastrophic,
uh-huh.
I would say...
1 to 5, boo-boo.
1 to 5. I would say a 3.
3 boo-boo?
Yeah.
All right.
And I didn't have anybody to kiss it better either, Chuck.
Oh, why not?
I just didn't. I just didn't have anybody on hand. My daughter was very helpful. I got some Tiger Balm. You ever use Tiger Balm, Chuck?
Yeah, sure.
It's great. It gives you the heat, the penetrative heat that cures what ails you.
Did you guys go to Six Flags yesterday?
How'd you know that?
Well, I talked to your daughter.
Where?
At work. She was up here yesterday, you know.
What? Was she? Very briefly. Yes.
I'm so sorry. Year, everyone.
Yeah, Chuck. Gosh, Chuck. Wow. We came here really quickly,
yeah.
And then I took her to her friend. Yes, she did go to Six Flags.
We chatted, Chuck, in the kitchen. She said she was going to Six Flags.
She went to Six Flags. Yeah, we got the gold pass where it's a really good deal. You pay $7 a month and you get to go anytime you want, unlimited.
$7?
Seven whole dollars.
Jeez.
I spend that much a month on gum. Probably more.
What's the monthly commitment? How long you got?
It's a year.
Oh, you pay $7 a month for a year?
Yeah.
So you pay $84.
Right. So that's a season pass.
Why don't they just call it a season pass?
They do that as well, but the season pass is more expensive.
It's more than $84?
Something like that. I don't know. It fluctuates. They have deals where they'll give you a discount for the season pass, but you have to catch it at the right time. But I don't know. I thought it was worth it. I got one for her and myself, so I'm
totally
looking forward to going a bunch this summer.
You know, Noel, when I was a kid, I was a Six Flags nut, seasons passer, and just we went a lot. With my church group and on our own. And boy, I just love nothing more than going to the old amusement park.
Remember the Georgia Cyclone, Chuck? The big wooden one.
Sure.
They've refurbed it, and now it's called the Twisted Cyclone. And the base is still wood, but the track is all steel. So they retrofitted it. And it's got these kind of old-timey cars-looking things that you sit in, what do you call it? What do you call the thing you ride in on a roller coaster? The carriage?
The carriage.
The carriage. Yeah.
I haven't been in many, many, many years, Noel. Do they still have the Scream Machine?
They do, and it still messes with your neck.
Okay.
Pretty bad.
Because it was built in the 1950s.
Very, very jerky.
Yeah.
We do not care for that one. It's a little too jerky.
Well, it's the old boxy mm-hmm. wooden coaster.
Exactly.
Enthusiasts really like those.
Have you ridden the Batman roller coaster, Chuck?
Is that the one where you hang?
You hang underneath the track.
I think that was pretty new when I went last. So that kind of – actually, the newest ride was the Georgia Scorcher, which was the stand-up one, I believe.
That one's okay. I don't like the ones that pin you in too tight with that harness around your chest.
Uh-huh.
I get kind of claustrophobic.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Batman one is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they have that new pendulum swing thing.
Yep, called the Pandemonium. Eden rode that one, so that was the longest line. Everything else was pretty short. But she's a real coaster head. She's 10 years old, and
that's
really
great.
She's now tall enough to ride everything, and she will ride everything.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't ridden this pendulum one, but they have the same one basically in Cedar Point. In Ohio, which is long regarded as the best amusement park in the country.
What are your Ohio ties, Chuck?
Well, Emily's from Ohio.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you guys make it back there for family stuff.
Well, not so much anymore because her mom and stepdad and sister and grandmother all moved here when Ruby came along.
Nice.
So her dad's still there, but we managed to get him to Atlanta usually. And her brother is still there with his 5 boys.
Wow.
Boys under the age of... 9.
Talk about pandemonium. Am I right,
Jeez.
Chuck?
Oh. Tell you what, man. That's a crazy scene when you get 5 boys going on under a certain age or any age. All right, Noel. It's good to see you.
You too, man.
Thanks for asking how I'm feeling.
I could just tell by your glowing visage that you were just doing very well.
Yeah, man, that virus passed through me like cheese through a goose.
I forgot that. Okay, now I do feel bad.
Yeah.
How did that go? You were not well.
I was sick as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And it just blazed right through my household. Emily and I are both feeling much better.
That's great.
We're lucky enough to dump my daughter off with Emily's mom for 3 days, which was great because two sick parents is not good.
No.
You know, because you just constantly look at each other like, who's going to do it?
Does not a happy household make.
Who's going to do the thing?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, and we got the new kittens on Sunday. And,
yeah. With Luna is
Luna
one of them.
And Levon.
Levon.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. They look like a couple of sweeties.
So now we're doing the process of introducing to the dogs very slowly.
How does that work?
Well, I mean, before we always, they were adult cats, and it's a little easier, I think. Kittens are a little just like, what is this large thing in my face? Let me swat at it. And Nico is just very coiled up because she so wants to just lick and cuddle. But, you know, the kitties don't understand this yet.
No.
So here's how we're doing it is the cats are sequestered in the guest room right now. Getting used to things, and we are introducing it one dog at a time in little bits and spurts. Like I was up there for 15 minutes this morning laying in the guest bed with the dog, hand on collar, and the kitties, and just sort of letting them explore each other.
Oh.
So pretty soon, hopefully, we'll just all be integrated.
Well, that sounds like a big old happy extended family.
It is. It's great.
Yeah, I love
back
it.
Back to two and two, how it should be. All right, Noel, so we're going to start off with Corrections Corner. Which is starting to fill up a bit.
Uh-oh. So not all on me this time again, are they?
No, I'm sure it's everybody. Let me see here. Chris Cott says, number 67. You know, we numbered the Shoals. No, the shows.
The Shoals?
The Shoals.
The Dr. Shoals?
No. Good Lord. And we're up to, I think this will be like 72 or something.
Okay.
Maybe?
Or it's a
close.
Lot of,
we're in the
70s. It's a lot of content, Chuck.
A lot of content.
Yeah.
So Chris Cott says, Hero is a Chinese movie.
Noel, I knew that. I knew that immediately after I said it. I felt like a jerk. I knew that. I listened back to that episode and I was like, God, Noel.
Yeah.
And you know why? I think because the style was so similar to – no, that was a Chinese movie too. Never mind. Never mind. That was just a total boneheaded move on my part. I know the difference between the Chinese culture and Japanese culture. I very much do. It was a slip of the tongue.
Sure.
I do apologize.
Of course.
Yes.
Well, we might as well just say this. Gemma Marie, our old pal, says, Irma Gerd, Noel, you were so wrong about the ending of Game of Thrones. Hey, listen, Gemma. Noel is certainly not alone, so that is not a correction.
What does he have to say about it? Does he just leave it at that?
I mean, let's just leave it at that.
That I was wrong?
Well, Gemma says you were wrong, so I guess she enjoyed it.
Okay. But I would love to hear, I would love to have a more extended dialogue about this with Gemma is what I'm getting at.
Well, get on the old page. You and Gemma
holler.
Can go at it.
Okay, I'll do it. I'm interested.
Benjamin Johnson says, you both mentioned in Movie Crush number 69 what I believe to be the Nika coffee grain whiskey.
Yes.
And I actually knew this, Noel, but I didn't call you out. He said, Noel implied that it was distilled or made from coffee. Not true. He said the coffee in the name just refers to the type of still that's used. It's used in Scotch as well as Japanese whiskey. Embarrassingly made the same mistake once at a bar and was corrected.
Oh, so embarrassing. Now I share your embarrassment. But I swear to God, it has that taste, though.
Oh, I think that's in your head.
Really?
Because it says coffee on the label.
Really? Wow. That's okay.
Maybe there's a coffee note.
It's a note, Chuck. I detected a distinct note of coffee.
It's funny, man. I'm a big wine guy, as you know, and have been to many, many wineries in many wine regions of the world now.
Oh, my. The world over.
And consider myself to have a pretty good palate and good taste. Mm-hmm. However, to this day, I can still not drink a glass of red wine and pick out 12 different notes.
The fruits. The fruit forward.
Courant and blackberry
right.
and chocolate and a hint of lavender.
Uh-huh.
Just, I don't know. I just am like, this tastes really, really good.
Yes.
Or, this isn't quite for me.
That's right. Do you think that there's some sort of like kind of almost suspension of disbelief for folks that claim to be able
you
to
mean,
do
is
that?
It bullshit?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. I think some people have super tasters.
Did you know Jerry's a super taster?
Is she really?
There was a thing on Part-Time Genius where we got these strips where you eat the strip, and if it tastes a certain way, then you're a super taster. And
wow.
She was of all of us who did the test, Jerry was the super taster.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to talk to her about that.
Yeah.
I've known Jerry for a long time, Noel. Didn't know she was a super taster.
It's true.
Didn't know she was an ST.
Proven.
Let me see here. Jason Ferber says, Chuck, in the Bronger episode, I swear I heard you use the word cruxed with a T on the end. I mean, I know it's crux, but I have an accent, so maybe. And by the way, everyone, Corrections Corner isn't so much you pronounce this wrong. It's kind of like, what do we get wrong about a movie?
Exactly.
So maybe I should just weed those out.
It's possible. Or maybe folks should just chill, you know?
Yeah, because now we're getting, I'm looking down the list, we're getting things about ibuprofen. Sort of not the point.
Wait a minute. Was that me? Did I say something bad about ibuprofen?
No, I said something about drinking and ibuprofen.
Oh, you're not supposed to do it at the same time?
Oh, apparently it's fine, Noel.
Is it fine?
Apparently it's fine.
We might get rid of Corrections Corner.
Oh, no.
This is why we can't have nice things. You guys ruined Corrections Corner.
Oh, my God. The cruxed. All right, Noel, we're just going to skip right on over, in that case, to social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
Get ready. Get your singing voice out. How you feeling?
Oh, man, so good. My pipes are velvety as ever.
Because you know what I asked for, Noel?
What's that?
As promised in the last episode, what's your favorite TV theme song of all time?
Standing tall on the wings of my dreams.
What's that?
Perfect Strangers. Rise and fall on the wings of my dreams. Any of those 90s TGIF kind of themes that had lyrics?
Sure.
Love that, you know?
Show me that smile.
Oh, show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute.
Yeah, any of those, man. I miss the sitcom themes that had
the
lyrics.
Theme songs, yeah.
I love that.
It was such a time and place.
Days go by. You know, all that stuff.
Boy, we got a lot of comments on this. It's really amazing. So I'll go ahead and tell you what my favorite theme song is from Good Times. So funky.
Is that Moving On Up?
No.
That's the Jeffersons.
Good Times is not getting hassled, not getting hustled, keeping your head above water, making a way when you can. Temporary layoffs, good times.
You know, I don't know that one.
Oh, my God. It's so funky and great.
It's very cool.
I mean, it's a great song. That's really when it comes down to it.
I agree.
Is it a really good song?
Welcome Back, Cotter's pretty cool.
Oh, God.
It's just so groovy.
We're not even reading these. We're just
Who'd have thought they'd leave you? Who'd have thought they'd leave you? Back there where we need you. We teased them a lot because we got him on the spot. Welcome
back.
We just
went full Randy Newman.
I know.
Exactly. Even Randy Newman.
Yeah, whatever. Hybrid Randy Newman.
Let's go here with Don Morris, our old pal, says The Muppet Show. I mean, there aren't many better than It's Time to Put on Makeup. It's Time to Light the Lights.
So good.
It's just an exciting – it gets you pumped up.
It gets
up
you amped.
Every single time.
For the show. It's like that's what a theme song should do.
Goodness me. Alexis Taylor Ackridge, our old pal, says Golden Girls.
Totally.
I don't remember another theme song that can bring a room of strangers together like singing this theme.
Yeah.
You know what? I never watched The Golden Girls. Mm, that's my
good.
Dirty secret.
It's fun.
But she says it's Thank You for Being a Friend. Is that what it was?
Thank you for being a friend.
Well, the great Carole King song.
Travel down the road and back again.
Carole King, by the way.
Really?
Carole Kane.
Carole Kane?
No.
Carole King?
Carole King.
Like feel the earth move under my feet, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Tapestry.
She just was honored at the Kennedy Center for great contribution to culture.
Yeah. Standard Kennedy Center honor.
Standard Kennedy Center honor.
That's
yeah.
great. Those are always fun. Did you see when Hart honored Led Zeppelin?
No, but that makes sense.
It's pretty great if you watch it and just look at Robert Plant like sort of tearing up. It's pretty special.
Robert Plant was there with Carole King too.
Really?
He was like sitting right next to her, I think, and he was like just totally. In the moment,
yeah man.
He was loving
great.
It. Loves Carol.
He still looks so cool. So does Jimmy Page. It's old British silver foxes, man.
Yep, I agree.
Old rockers. Guillermo Flores Barrios, our old pal, says the X-Files still gives me chills.
Remember when you sang that the other week?
Was it the throat singing?
Yeah, yeah. It was like the simultaneous hum and whistle, and I was taken aback by it. It gave me chills. It was cool.
So Vanessa Lopez, one of our oldest pals, says, "Psych, it's fun to rock out to. The Tears for Fears version was awesome."
What?
I don't know that.
I love Tears for Fears, and we've been recommended Psych many times since it came up on one of the last minis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was on the message
board.
Yeah,
about the moonlighting, inspired by moonlighting.
Folks are really into it.
Our old pal Melinda Bacalillo says Hawaii 5-0, such a fun theme. You know, it certainly starts with that great drum fill. Patrick Gorman, our old pal, says, "I immediately heard MASH when I read this post. Suicide is painless and all." That's the song.
So sad. But that, see, the lyric version, though... Wait a minute, no. Is it in the TV version?
The TV version is non-lyrical.
Non-lyrical. Wait, no, but doesn't it just have the through early morning fog?
No, it's just instrumental on the TV show.
I almost wanna
check it out, Noel.
All right, dude.
The movie may have...
No, the movie definitely has the full lyrics and the suicide is painless part, but I swear there's a part of the TV series, whether it's the end or the credits or something, where you hear just that one line about through early morning fog, I see.
Jeez, I watched a lot of MASH. I don't remember that.
You know what? You're probably right, Chuck. MASH opening.
I'm going to keep going, though.
Yeah,
Noah Cornick says, only one answer, Cheers. Certainly great. He said, distant second, Taxi. The theme song to Taxi was great.
It is good. It's just a good instrumental.
So nice. All right, now Noel is playing MASH.
Yeah, you're totally right, Chuck. You're totally right.
All right. Our old friend Louis Silva goes with the Jeffersons and Moving On Up. He said, it reminds me of watching TV late at night when I was younger. Certainly nothing wrong with the Jeffersons. Did you see that live Jeffersons All in the Family thing?
What? Like a crossover?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so behind. I like don't even pay attention to network TV anymore. But apparently they did a live two episodes. They did a Jeffersons, a classic Jeffersons episode that they recreated live on stage, and a classic All in the Family that they recreated live on stage. And like Woody Harrelson was Archie Bunker and Jamie Foxx was George Jefferson.
Oh, cool.
And
where did they do this? Like you could
just, you know, on stage. It was on TV.
Oh, okay,
they broadcast
got it
live.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't even know about it, and I kind of wanted to see it after it, you know, hit the news.
That would have been cool. I have not heard about this. I'm going to have to look it up.
Tina Cheever, our old friend, Laverne and Shirley.
That's Shlemiel Schlemazel. Yeah. I always think of the scene in Wayne's World where they recreate that whole thing. We're gonna
make it. George Anderson says Barney Miller was pretty badass. That's true. Boy, these are all good old school shows for the most part.
They're all kind of leaning into our whole, you know, fond remembrance of the lyric opening song.
I think so.
I think that's a big deal.
Melissa Zarate says the animated Beetlejuice from Danny Elfman. And then the Munsters is a close second. I don't know the animated Beetlejuice.
Speaking of animated and Muppets, Muppet Babies had a really good opening theme.
Our old buddy Gail Kuntz said Muppet Babies.
Yeah.
I never saw the Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies will make your dreams come true.
Oh, a little like rock and roll.
Kind of 50s. Old school doo-wop-y.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we should mention Happy Days then if we're going down that alley.
Very much so.
Peter Middleton Jr., one of our old friends, says, The Facts of Life. My mom watched the show my whole childhood. It's engraved in me. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, Noel. You take it all. There you have.
You got to have.
The facts of life.
The facts of life.
Our old friend Greta Koning says, The A-Team and the Greatest American Hero. Boy, these are just all hitting me right in the feels. My childhood. Robert Paulson, our old mouthy friend. Mission Impossible. Dun, dun, dun. Talk about getting you amped up. And then I even liked, you know, when U2 did that version. For the when the movie started.
Absolutely. I have a quick aside. Have we talked about the fact that Robert Paulson is the Meatloaf character in Fight Club?
Yes.
That everyone says his name is Robert Paulson?
His name is Robert Paulson.
Okay.
Yeah, Paulson, he's tired of hearing that.
I bet he is. I bet he is.
But he's a location manager and location scout in L.A.
Got it.
So I imagine he gets that
a lot. He gets it a lot.
Yeah. Robert's a good guy. I tease him. Pamela Edens Larrett says Twin Peaks.
Of course.
I'm with you there.
Of course.
Was it Julie Cruise?
It's Julie Cruise, yeah. And then that's another one where there's like, you know, the Angelo Badalamenti instrumental version, and then there's the Julie Cruise lyric version.
Right.
That is only featured like in the movie, I
right, where
say.
She goes, Twin Peaks yes.
is
around.
The place to be.
Not a good place to be killed.
The owls are not what they seem.
Beware the log lady.
No, she's cool, man. The log lady's, she's down.
And she left us too, R.I.P.
Oh my gosh, and I'm so sad in the reboot. You can't even call it a reboot. That was just a continuation. It was beautiful.
I need to finish that.
It's so good. It's so long, but it's so good.
I bailed.
But the log lady, she's in it like as she's on death's door. And she is, it's a very, she's wearing like the oxygen mask and it's very clear that she is legitimately dying.
Yeah.
And then she passed very shortly after that.
Yeah. I know we talked about it some, but you know why I didn't like the new Twin Peaks as much?
Why's that?
Because it wasn't Twin Peaks. It was like very little of it was Twin Peaks, and the rest of it was just weirdness from David Lynch, which I love, but I wanted Twin Peaks.
Yeah. I mean,
I wanted the town. I wanted those people.
That's right.
And he just really abandoned
them. Well, that. Well, you know what? That's Lynch's going to be what Lynch is going to be.
Lynch is going to lynch.
He's going to lynch. You know, he's got one of those masterclass series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, but that's good.
I bet it's great. Teaches you how to catch the big ideas.
Chris Edwards, the sad walking away music from The Incredible Hulk.
Yep.
No, all these shows were before your time, but
I remember them all, though, from reruns from when I was a kid.
Yeah, but big it's time. The same deal. Like, I watched Green Acres and stuff like that growing up. And
I
that
did,
was
too.
Before
Nick
my
at
time.
Night, man. Andy like, Griffith. Nick at Night. I remember Dobie Gillis, dude. I remember all of these shows.
Oh, man. Dobie Gillis is great. Gretchen Kasperi Tolksdorf says the theme from Northern Exposure. Boy, I love that show.
That's one we've talked about this, and I've never seen that one.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa Barker, her old pal, says The Courtship of Eddie's Father. That was another winner.
What? That's the name of the show?
Uh-huh. Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Mm-hmm. Never
I think it was Bill Bixby, in fact, who played
don't know who that is.
The Hulk's counterpart.
Counterpart.
Who's the real guy?
Bruce Banner?
Yes, but in the TV show, I think it was David Banner.
Really?
Oddly, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure we'll see that on Corrections Corner.
And there was a Hulk movie that Dolph Lundgren was in, or wait, no, Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno was the Hulk.
In the TV show.
In the TV show?
Yeah.
Well, then what are you talking about?
The TV show.
Who were you just talking about? You said Bixby or something like that.
He played David Banner. Lou Ferrigno played the Hulk. It wasn't the same guy.
Oh, it wasn't the same guy. I get it now.
No, you got to have a big dude for
okay,
Hulk
got
and
it,
a little
got
guy.
It, got it, got it. All right. That makes sense.
It's pre-CGI. You can't even wrap your head around that.
I can't, dude. I'm ruined. I'm ruined. Hollywood has ruined me.
Who's this Bixby guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Zach Pointer, old friend in Japan, says it's got to be Growing Pains. Don't waste another minute and you're crying.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Joshua Inman says The Rockford Files. Mike Post theme song. Mike Post, he kind of was the man
Did
at one point.
David Chase of Sopranos fame had a big hand in The Rockford Files?
No.
I only know this because I started rewatching The Sopranos.
Is that one of his early gigs?
It's one of his early gigs, and I'll tell you what's a really fun way to watch The Sopranos is watch it on a plane edited for content. It is a hoot.
Do they beep out the F words?
They just change it. They dub it, you know? It's really – but I've since re-picked it up on the HBO streaming, and God, that show's so good. But yeah, Rockford Files, David Chase.
Hmm. Lucia Kelly says White Horses and Belle and Sebastian TV series.
Oh, no. I don't understand the reference.
What is that?
White Horses, I guess the Rolling Stones song?
I don't know.
That's Wild Horses.
That's Wild Horses. I certainly know Belle and Sebastian.
Yeah, but I don't understand the connection there.
You like Belle and Sebastian? You a fan?
I do.
Love those guys.
White Horses,
Belle. If you're feeling sinister, Noel.
Here we go. There's a TV show called White Horses and Belle and Sebastian.
I guess they did the theme.
Hold on a second. Belle and Sebastian got their name from this 1960s television series. It's called Belle, Sebastian, and the Horses. It was a children's television program from 1968.
Wow. There's the story.
And that is where they got their name.
Did not know that. Look at us learning at our age. Sarah Lundberg says, Fresh Prince, still got it memorized.
Yeah, of course. In West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground was where he spent most of his days.
I watched a little bit of that show.
It's funny.
I wasn't like the biggest fan, but it was funny.
Yeah.
What's his name was so good? Carlton?
Carlton.
He was so funny.
Remember Mr. Belvedere?
Yeah, didn't watch it, but I remember it.
It was around the same time.
Yeah, for sure. MD Charnley says Scrubs. Don't know that one.
I like the show. I don't remember the theme, really.
He said it was Superman?
Yeah, but I don't really remember it.
Our old friend Bennett Duckworth says the Cleveland show was an earworm, the theme.
It was just one of those, like, big Family Guy kind of lyric songs with, like a musical kind of number.
I never watched the Cleveland show, which is weird because I love
Cleveland. That's Cleveland. There's a line in the opening theme about his mustache. That's all I remember.
Hey, Peter. Oh, man. Miami Vice by Jan Hammer. That's from Jamie Ehrman, an old friend. And, yeah, boy, that Miami Vice. There was some good 80s instrumental themes as well. Someone had it in here. I can't dig through all 600 of these, but the theme to The Equalizer, as done by Stuart Copeland.
Oh,
very good.
The Equalizer.
Yeah, it was a TV show that Denzel Washington. I think he did it as a movie fairly recently.
Yes.
But it was originally a TV show.
Another good instrumental
British guy.
Instrumental television series, Airwolf. Remember Airwolf?
Oh, I remember Airwolf.
With the helicopter guy?
Jan Michael Vincent.
That's right. That had a really cool kind of, you know, Giorgio Moroder kind of synthy theme. You know how I go for that stuff.
That is right up your alley, Noel. Brian Long says Gilligan's Island. Yeah, I mean, it's all right there. That Gilligan's Island did the thing where they tell you the premise of the show in the song.
Yep, lest you forget, you know.
Yeah, this is a tale of our castaways.
There you go.
And it's all out there.
It's a little primer.
They've been here for
Introduces
a long, long
you
time.
To all the characters.
A three-hour tour.
That's right.
And then what happened, Noel? The weather started getting rough.
The tiny ship, it was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost, Chuck.
And also, the fearless crew were bumbling morons.
They really were. That's true. They don't,
That song didn't quite fit.
It did not.
Let me see here. Hannah Visuri says The Sopranos.
Oh, my God. So good. Woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Got yourself a gun.
Yeah, yeah. Who was that?
Unclear.
Okay.
Don't know that they went on to do anything else.
No, that feels like a claim to fame is I did The Sopranos. It's like a sort of a Bruce Springsteen wannabe. Oh, that's terrible to say.
No, I mean, it's got that... Alabama 3?
What?
Yeah. From their 1997 album, Exile on Cold Harbor Lane, it's the opening of the Sopranos theme.
Hmm. Jeff Morse says The Office. Either one is pretty great. We did, you know, the Rod Stewart song the other day.
Totally. But the instrumental is very nice.
Yeah,
it really
is good.
With the little melodica sound, uh-huh. The little kind of accordion-y kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like... I watched The Office just two nights ago, Noel, randomly when I was – it's a good, like, going to sleep
totally
thing.
Yeah.
And it was the episode where Ryan comes back from his excursion
into corporate kind of
– Yeah, and he comes back like
– Debauchery, yeah.
All, like, super fly with his BlackBerry.
Right.
Every scene starts with him going, hold on.
Yeah.
When he's typing into the BlackBerry.
Yeah. That's great.
It's so funny.
And then he has this massive fall from grace.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah. Mindy Kaling. Boy, she's great.
Great character.
Loved her. The Leftovers, that's from Brittany Wilkes, season one. I don't know. That might have changed around. There's some shows that have done that here and there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like True Detective did, for sure. The Wire always had a different artist doing the same song.
Oh, that's
down
right.
In a hole. Gotta keep the devil down. There's one season where Tom Waits does it.
That's right.
I don't remember who the other artists are, but that's always really compelling.
Charlie Baker says Breaking Bad, short and amazing, would get you pumped up for cooking some meth. Yeah,
that's almost like a stinger. That's so quick. It's like just like a brown, brown.
Sometimes a TV show will just, it's iconic because it makes you excited that the show's about to start.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not even the song itself.
That one's just paired with that awesome little graphic of like the kind of burned in text on the periodic table. And it just has this little weird slide guitar stinger. It's not even a song. It's just like a little moment, a little burst.
It's very nice.
It's great.
They get right into it. Mm-hmm. Heather Morgan Frazier said Steven Universe. Don't know that show.
Oh, it's great.
We Are the Crystal Gems.
Yep. We're always it actually is the melody of Space Oddity by David Bowie. It's like, we are the crystal gems. We'll always save the day. And if you think we can, we'll always find a way. It's very much like the part of Space Oddity. But that show is really important because it's a very, like, gender, like, positive kind of show. You know, that's very much appeals to kids that are potentially trans or, you know, having different kind of gender identities. And it doesn't, like, it doesn't beat you to death with it. It's just a very nice, kind show about, like, being good to each other. And it's just a really, really great show.
That sounds great.
Yep.
And you know what, Noah? While we're on that, I'm going to go ahead and plug my friend Teresa Thorne, wife to Jesse Thorne of the Max Fun Network.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a book. Their oldest, they have three kids. Their oldest is a trans female. And they knew this from the time she was, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years old.
Totally.
And have just been great about the whole thing. And she wrote a book that just came out yesterday called It Feels Good to Be Yourself, a book about gender identity.
It's amazing.
It's a kid's book that she worked with an illustrator on. And I pre-ordered it. Can't wait to get it and read it to Ruby. And it's not like you have to have a trans child to get a lot out of this book.
Of course.
Because it's just about accepting everyone and feeling good about yourself.
I'm going to order that myself, Chuck.
Great message for children to hear. Nikki Cofill says, Round the Twist, an Australian kid show from the 90s. All right. Never heard of that. I like shouting out some of these shows, you know, from other countries.
Someone gave me a hard time or gave our other show, Ridiculous History, a hard time because apparently we don't ever say anything nice about Australia.
I love Australia.
I know. I know you guys have a huge fan base in Australia and you've been there a lot, and that's awesome. And I was taken aback by that because I love Australia too. Some of my favorite bands of the moment right now are from Australia.
Oh, yeah?
Like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. And
terrible name, but sure.
No, they're so good. Well, listen to this other one. The Psychedelic Porn Crumpets. Dude, I'm telling you, Chuck, you will love these bands. They rip. They're
so good.
I know
King Gizzard.
King Gizzard is fantastic, but Psychedelic Porn Crumpets is one of my new favorites. And Tame Impala, of course, but like a lot of these bands that are kind of like in that super kind of proggy psych rock vein, they're just pouring out of Australia right now. I love all of it.
Yeah,
such good stuff.
I'm surprised someone would say that. It's one of my favorite places. Can't wait to go back. Our old friend Joe Gathercole says, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Heroes in a half shell, turtle power.
I never watched that, believe it or not.
That was past your time.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that was in like the mid-90s. That was in the 90s.
Yeah, although I had friends that were into it.
Yeah. That was kind of a crossover show where even like grown-ups were kind of into it and bought the action figures and stuff like that.
Matt Lowe says Sanford and Son. Yeah, I can play that on the harmonica, Noel. It's one of my party tricks.
You can rock the harmonica, dude?
A little bit.
Yeah. Can you do the bendies? Can you do the...
Oh, yeah. I'm okay.
A friend of mine tried to give me a lesson. I may have been a little drunk. I was not receptive, but I really want to try to get better at it. It's so cool.
My harmonica level is such that, like, if you threw me harmonica, you would go like, oh, wow, you can play the harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm certainly not claiming to be a harmonica player. Like
you're no John Papa.
No John Papa.
You don't have a harmonica vest.
I don't. Tyler Woolley says Mad Men is pretty legit.
Totally.
For sure. And let's read a couple of more of these. Mike Jones says The Fall Guy, classic 80s show.
I know that one.
Yeah, that was, I can't remember how it goes. Nikki Dennis says The Love Boat. Yeah, these are all very
The Love Boat is a little old boat where we can make some love,
No,
the Love Boat, baby, no?
Soon you'll be making another run.
Oh, yes.
It promises something for everyone.
Got it.
That's a really corny one.
Is that the one with Tattoo? Or is that Fantasy Island?
That's
not the same as The Love Boat, okay.
Yeah.
You take The Love Boat to Fantasy Island.
You probably could. Yeah. They were very much linked. I think they were back-to-back.
Got it.
Greer Ball says True Blood. I think I remember enjoying that theme song.
That one was pretty cool.
And I enjoyed that show for a while. We were fans.
Yeah, and then it kind of jumped the shark.
Until it went off the rails.
It jumped the were-panther.
Yeah, you know, Noel, the trick is do it like the Brits do. Just do like three and out.
Totally.
The show shouldn't have 8 or 9 or 10 seasons.
No.
You can't sustain it.
The thing is, though, like some showrunners, when a show is super successful, they will push hard for that.
To
not keep going.
Oh, right.
They, like, if they have a little power over the network to say, hey, we did a good thing, let us not have to do this forever and ever.
Because
and ever.
I'm a hot ticket now. Because I'm a hot ticket. And do whatever I want.
That's kind of what happened with the Game of Thrones dudes. I think they got handed a Star Wars franchise and they wanted to wrap that business up so they could get on to the next chapter of their lives.
Yeah. Ugh. All right, Noel. Well, we could do this all day, and there's still 480 of them.
We're at a healthy running time right now, Chuck, just FYI.
Yeah, so I'm going to just close real quick with a stream this. I've been watching Dead to Me. Have you seen it?
I have heard good things.
It's really good. It is a show on Netflix starring Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini and James Marsden and Ed Asner even makes an appearance. Dear old Ed Asner. And it's really good. It's a show about a woman who has lost her husband and goes to a support group and meets a friend there, Linda Cardellini. And then things just get interesting from there.
Got it.
That's all I'll say. Don't want to give anything away. But, boy, Christina Applegate is great. She's going to be nommed for some Emmys, for an Emmy, for sure.
She get some M-noms?
She better, because, boy, she just brings it. She's very funny, and there are also times that are very heartbreaking, and she just I'm just very impressed with her acting in this TV show.
That sounds great. It,
highly bingeable.
It looks kind of like Big Little Liars. A little bit, just in terms of like the white privilege kind of like housewife culture
Sure.
And it intersecting with some sort of intrigue. I don't know. Maybe like that's a very broad way of
looking
at
it. Different
tone. Got
it. Yeah.
Have you seen Barry, Chuck? Have we talked about Barry?
We haven't. I watched two or three episodes on a plane and loved it.
It's
and just I need to get it into the household
it's
now.
It's just so good, dude.
Yeah.
And it's talk about bingeable. The seasons are very short and the episodes are 30 minutes long.
Yeah,
and
same with Dead to Me.
You can just slam it, dude. It's so good.
Yeah, anything where you can like barrel through four episodes in a night in the same time that you
Absolutely.
Would have watched a movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
And it's really tight storytelling. Stephen Root is always delightful. He's in it.
He's the best.
And
one of the great character actors.
He's so good. Yeah. I can't recommend it highly enough. It's kind of like what you're describing for Dead to Me.
Right.
It's heartwarming
right.
at times, heartbreaking at uh-huh. other times.
Dark.
Absolutely dark, uh-huh. violent, hilarious. It's
yeah.
just all the things.
I love it.
All
Hater,
the
man. He's a dream guest.
He is so good.
I just think a lot of that
yeah,
guy.
I'm really. He's just so versatile.
And just, by all accounts, a very kind, cool
dude. You
can
kind of see it in his eyes,
yeah.
you know?
He's
he just has
face.
Like a... Got a very kind face.
Everyone I know who knows him just across the board says, yeah, Hader's kind of the best. So that little chime meant it's time for us to go. We got to – speaking of theme songs, Noel.
Yeah.
Our fucking movie crush, dude.
Thanks, man.
It's great.
I appreciate it.
I love it.
It holds up.
It holds up. It's so great. We need to do a live show, the two of us soon.
I would love to.
Because there's something about hearing that backstage and then coming out.
Totally, man. Maybe I'll even bring a little synth and I'll just
Whoa.
Like play it live, you know?
Wow.
I don't know. That might be a little ambitious.
We need to find a city. We need to be able to sell like 100 tickets.
Of course.
Like we're not asking for a lot.
No.
We need to be able to sell 100 tickets to make just like cover our travel
to make our
basically.
Nut. Make our nut.
You know?
Yeah. I love that expression.
Sorry.
I've been watching Sopranos. Make our nut.
Bust your nut?
No, make it. You don't bust it. That's the opposite of making it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dude, I would love to do that. We're doing a live Ridiculous History show this Saturday at Pont City Market as part of the Atlanta Design Festival.
I'm going to be in L.A.
Yeah, it's okay. Next time. I'm kind of looking forward to it. We're doing a history of the Sears company and the Sears catalog because if anyone doesn't know, our building here, Pont City Market, used to be a giant Sears warehouse.
Yeah,
distribution hub.
For the whole Southeast.
For the whole Southeast because it's right on the tracks, right butted up against the tracks, which is now like this bougie walking path, the Beltline. But it's great. We love Atlanta. I'm sorry, I didn't mean
right.
to sound
We just hate Australia.
There. We love Australia. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. I love doing live shows, and I know you have a little more experience than me, but I've done it. I did a tour with Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, which I really enjoyed, and
yeah.
done a couple of live shows, one-offs here and there, but I'd love to do one with you. I think it'd be a blast.
I'm thinking New York's probably our best bet is
easily
for getting butts in the seats.
I mean, Josh did his End of the World thing at the Bell House. You know, maybe surely we could at least match that.
I don't know, man.
No?
Josh is pretty popular.
Josh is a pretty popular kid. Yeah, it's true.
Before we go, everyone, I just want to reiterate, I love Australia so much. My lady on my phone who talks to me
yeah?
is an Australian woman.
Aw. Do you have a name for her?
No.
Tess?
I mean, everyone calls her Siri, I guess.
I call her, okay. Oh, Siri. That's
but I don't use Siri. All I'd use it is for map directions.
Map directions.
And it's always nice to hear her lovely Australian accent.
I would enjoy that as well, Chuck.
That's great.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
G'day.
Goodbye.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.